Rightio. So good evening and welcome everybody to our second session. And having received your books, you'll see our second session is on covenant. Okay. Now, once again, it's going to be slightly different to the normal covenants that we learn about. We mostly learn about covenants, and the most common covenant for us at this time is like a marriage covenant. But before we begin, I just want to read to you what and the reason that we're doing these the Table of Transformation is it's to work on your soul in relationship with the changes you need to make to line yourself up with how God sees you and who He created you to be. Okay? It's not actually about us as in us. It's about allowing ourselves to blossom and bloom into who God created us to be, to shake off all the things that the enemy has used through the world, through people, through things to create us into somebody that ultimately we might not be. And as I've shared before, when we came here to the UK, that hit me hard because I had in South Africa, as I said, I was Patty Morley's daughter, Marshall Stiles' wife, Alex and Robin's mother. I was the church secretary, etc., etc. But when we came here, when nobody knew me, I didn't even know me. God had to show me who I was, not who other people thought I was, but who God showed me and created me to be. So it's been quite a long journey, but it's an ongoing journey, and that's the exciting thing that we did forgiveness last week, and this week we're going to be doing covenant. And you can go back to those notes, you can go back to the replays at any given time and refresh yourselves when you go for those in South Africa. I don't know what it is here, but in South Africa, when you start school, you start at Sub A, then you go to Sub B, and then you go to Standard One. Might have changed by now, but that's when I was at school. Okay. In Sub A, you still learnt about ABCs. Sub B, you still learnt about ABCs, but you strung two letters together and they made words. Then in Standard One, you learned how to put those words together in a sentence. It's still all the same thing, but every time there's layer upon layer, and you go deeper and deeper with the Lord. When He brings whatever we're learning, when He brings it to light, you can just add to that layer, or you can go deeper into a relationship with Him. So, with further ado, we're going to go into covenant. Okay, so on your notes will be all the scriptures and things that I need you to go through. If there's any scriptures that I do mention outside of those, if you want me to send it to you, or if you want to listen to the replay and pause and take note of the scriptures, that's quite okay. Right. So covenant is entering a covenant relationship means death to independent living. Whether you're a married couple or not, it's death to independent living. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it is death to independent living. We do no longer live for ourselves. We live for Christ. I no longer live for myself. I live for my husband. Okay? And I live to be with him. I live to do things with him. So when a covenant is there, it is a entering into a death to self. And that's why in marriage, sometimes you hear people saying, "Oh, we in covenant 50-50." Well, if you take 50% and you take 50%, they just touch. But if you take 100% of you and 100% of your spouse, and you layer the two over, it is 100% support. It is 100% togetherness. It is 100% one flesh. When you take you and you take Jesus and you layer 100%, 100%, you become one with him. He dwells within you. And there is no separating. There is no being left alone. You might have your needed space. You might, as a couple, you might need time on your own or whatever the case is, but you're never actually alone because you have that. Okay. And that is the same thing when we have the Lord. Now let's go a little bit deeper in the fact that when you get married, you say covenants to each other. All right. When you accept Jesus as Lord and King of your life, there are covenants. There are active covenants that are in place. Okay. In the Old Testament, before our covenant with Jesus, there are seven covenants that God made with his people. That's how much he loved his people. He loved them so much that he made seven covenants with them. And each covenant might have overlapped the other one, but there was always something new, always something added to it. So you've got, which will be in your worksheets to go through, you've got firstly the I don't always know how to say this, so it's Edenic covenant, which is the covenant that was made in the Garden of Eden. Okay. Then you've got the Abrahamic covenant, the Adam covenant, so the Adam Adamic covenant. Then you've got the Noahic covenant. You've got the Abrahamic covenant. You've got the Mosaic covenant. You've got the Palestinian covenant. And you've got the David covenant. Oh, all these icks on the end, okay? And then you've got the new covenant, which is the eighth and final covenant. Now, in your worksheets, you'll be going through each of these covenants. And as you go through each of these covenants, because remember, we are dealing with the real me, discovering the real me, you need to read those covenants and how does it apply? What jumps out at you that was a covenant that God has made with you now? Personally, he's done it as a bride, but we're talking about discovering ourselves, who God created us. What does those covenants say to us about how much God loves us? What does those covenants say about who he created me to be? Remember, there's three types of covenants, okay? There's God to man covenant, there's man to man covenant, and then there's man to God covenant. Now we see a couple of covenants man to man in the Bible. You see Jonathan, David, and there's a couple of others. I didn't take much note of those for this session, unfortunately, but they are. You can discover them. There's quite a few, okay? They exchanged. So they exchanged like a belt or a sandal or something in covenant. They did that. When you go read the Old Testament covenants, God always said what he would bless or give to the people, but then he also told them what he expected of them. So if you go just for, just let me just find, okay. Just going to go to find my place quickly. Okay, so if you go to the first covenant, which is the Garden of Eden one, okay, it was a conditional covenant. As long as humans refrain from eating the forbidden fruit, they would enjoy God's blessing and fellowship in his presence. Because if you read, Genesis 2:16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And we know that they didn't die physically, but they did die spiritually. They were cut off from God at that moment in time. That's why they hid themselves away, because they were fearful. All right. The Adam covenant, Adam was given dominion and authority over the earth and the animal kingdom. Mankind was to reproduce and inhabit the entire earth. Man was given dietary instructions, and man was also given the responsibility to keep the garden maintained and in order. So if you go through each of those covenants, you will discover what that covenant is actually about. And when you put it into, okay, God, how does that apply to me? Am I fulfilling? Now, no guilt here, please. Remember I said earlier, guilt comes from Satan. Conviction comes from the Lord. And you might be reading that, and there might be something in that that at this moment in time, God doesn't want you to highlight, doesn't want you to focus on. But he will definitely show you the things that he wants you to focus on, and he wants to highlight in your life, and he wants to build it into your foundation at this moment in time. So those are just two examples of what those covenants could entail. So when you go read those covenants, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is pertaining to you. And please believe me, don't hear what I'm not saying. You can't chuck half of it away and only take off. What I'm saying is God gives us bite sizes to be able to manage, to be able to add into our lives. And that's why I said it's an ongoing thing. You can read that those covenants today, tomorrow, and you can get XYZ. You can read it in a week's time, you can read it in a month's time, and God can give you ABC. So it's not the fact that I'm telling you only take bits and pieces, but allow the Holy Spirit to show you what He wants you to work on now, what He wants you to understand, what He wants you to see in yourself of who He created you to be in covenant with Him. Covenant relationships agree to lay down their lives for each other, to place the need of the other person above and ahead of their own. Now we know for a fact that Jesus did that. Are we doing that for him? And where do we need to change to be the people that he created us to be? Through death to self, this relationship truly becomes two in one. Christ is here. You are here. Death to self, because Christ has already died for us. Death to self makes us two in one. When he comes to dwell within us, it's two in one. And as we know, when we accept Christ, the Father sees Christ in us, and he loves us. So we no longer live individual lives. We no longer live selfish lives. We live lives to create together. You partner with the Lord. You create with the Lord. He reveals to you who he created you to be with the Lord. Joe Bloggs didn't create you. God created you. So who do you go to? Who do you believe who you are? Not Joe Bloggs, but God. And if God says that he only makes good, then you are good. You've just got to allow him to dust off the earthly covering that sometimes the enemy wants to cover you with. And that's what you see. But that's not who you are. What you do doesn't make who you are. Who you are enables you to do what God has created you and called you to do. And yet the world trains us from babies. When we do something, we get rewarded. When we do good things, we get rewarded. When we do what the teachers say, we get a merit. When we eat all our vegetables, our parents give us pudding. Okay? So whatever we do, and so we are trained to do, to do, to do, to do. We are not trained to be and out of being to do. So that is something to think about as you go through your worksheets. Remember, it's not about doing. It's about who am I created to be? And out of that, God will enable me to do what he's called me to do. So man broke covenant with God, firstly in the Garden of Eden. And then, as I've said, all those other covenants were created because man kept breaking the covenants. He gave us everything. And yet, when it comes to us giving our lives to Jesus, we tend to be very picky about what we hand over to him. We don't hand over every single thing to him. Because if we did, we wouldn't worry. We would know exactly who we are in Christ, etc., etc. In Hebrews 10, 16 to 18, it says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he added, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." And in Jeremiah, so in Hebrews, it tells us that he'll write his laws on our hearts, or put it in our hearts and write it on our minds. But in Jeremiah, if you read Jeremiah, it says, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law into their minds and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they will be my people." It's like the Old Testament before the Holy Spirit. He had to write it into their minds before it went onto their hearts. But we have the Holy Spirit. So it goes, he writes it on our hearts so that our minds can be renewed to his way of thinking, to his way of doing things, because we have the grace of the Holy Spirit to teach us. And I found that so exciting and so fascinating that in the Old Testament he had to deal with their minds first, which then dropped to their hearts. Whereas here in the New Testament, in our day, we get to have it written on our hearts and we are allowed to renew our minds. So my question to you is, when you gave your life to the Lord, what did you covenant to him? Now, I know that there can be many Christianese sayings, there can be many religious things that we can say, "Oh, I did this, I did that." But I want you to actually stop and think. What when I married Marshall, I knew what my covenant was to him. Because I said it. But when God said to me, "What have you covenanted to me when I gave my life for you? What have you covenanted to me?" I had to really stop and think. What did I covenant to him? And that can be a promise that you said. I know a friend of ours. He promised the Lord that alcohol would not pass his lips all the days that he walked with the Lord. He would not do that. And to this day, as far as I know, he never has. Okay? And that's what he gave to God. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to do that. What I'm saying is it's personal. It's about who you are. So you are asking God, what, God, what do you want me? I know we give him our lives. Please, I understand that. But I'm talking about the uniqueness of who you are, who he created you to be. What did you covenant to the Lord? And have you kept that covenant to the Lord from the day you gave your life to him? If you haven't, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation, and there's no shame. Ask for forgiveness, pick it up, and say, okay, God, I'm back on track. If you've never covenanted anything to him because you've never thought about it, which is what I hadn't ever done that. I hadn't thought about it. I just said, Lord, I gave you my life. But then he started showing me areas that I hadn't totally given over to him. So I had to sit down and think, what do I personally want to covenant to the Lord? Because the covenant is a two-way thing. It's dying to self. So what are you covenanting with the Lord? And since we did the first one, which God showed me another thing he'd previously shown me, when we did it and I did the worksheet again, there was more things I could then covenant to the Lord. Because I was more mature, I could understand, I could appreciate, I could accept what he was meaning by a covenanting with him. And I'm sure when I go through the worksheet, I'm sure that he will do that again for me, because he is a God that is so personal and that wants the relationship to go deeper and deeper. He has covenanted his all. If you take all the eight covenants, every single one is layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And the enemy has stolen, stolen, stolen. But the final covenant redeems, restores, refreshes, reminds us of everything that God has given us. So, what are we? And if you're in a place where you maybe cannot give him something, don't be ashamed. Just give it to him and say, Lord, I can't at this moment, but I know, Holy Spirit, that you will help me get to that place where I'll be able to hand it over to you fully and it'll be in covenant with you. This is not about condemnation. This is not about bringing guilt upon ourselves or shame upon ourselves. It's about growing closer to God, working on our souls one day at a time. So that we truly begin to see who God created us to be. I always thought that I had to, because I was Patty Morley's daughter, I had to be loud. I had to be an entertainer. I had to be social. I had to be. Because I was good at admin, I had to be. Because that's where my identity lay. But when God started stripping that away, when we moved here and that was gone, I had to discover who I really was in Christ. And actually, I'm actually pretty reserved. Not that many of you knowing me from South Africa would know that, but I'm actually pretty reserved. The boldness that you see here is what God has given me. The gifts and talents that I have is what he's given me. A gift and a talent is administration, but it's not who I am. It's what I'm able to do for him. I'm hoping this may is making sense to you guys. It is not what you do, it is who you are. And when you think about a marriage covenant, a man and a wife, they're giving each other to each other. in sickness, in health, in good times, bad times, until death. There's always an until death do us part. When we accept Christ, each covenant, if you go through each covenant, there is always until, or do this because do this and you can't do this. If you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this is what will happen. God is very, he's the letter of the law itself, but it's filled with grace to empower us and enable us to fulfill that covenant that he so graciously gave us. If you think about the covenant in the fact of it's a contract of blessing, and then there's the conditions to stay and walk within those blessings. And so, what have we given to the Lord to stay and walk within his blessings, but for him too to be blessed? Because what did Jesus say? And what did Jesus? I do everything so that the Father may be glorified, so that the Father may be honored. What are we doing in our lives that we want to be able to give to God so that he may be honored, so that he may be glorified? That's what our covenant is all about. It's not about things. It's not about what we've got or what we haven't got. It's about who we are. God is more concerned about who we are and us becoming all that he created us to be than he is worried about the things that we have and don't have. Once we begin to realize that, then we will be able to walk in the blessing of things. But that will come when we truly understand who we are in Christ. Okay, I'm going to land the plane there. So I'm just going to pray for us. And then we can just have a time of sharing. If anybody's got anything, don't all share at once. We'll just do it in an orderly fashion. So, okay. So, Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you, Lord, that as we go forth, and even now, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you have already begun to highlight things in our lives of what you've covenanted to us, of all the goodness and the grace that you've covenanted to us. But Lord, I pray that each one of us has our eyes opened, our ears unstopped, and our hearts prepared for what we need to covenant to you if we haven't already done so. Lord, may our covenant to you be yes and amen. May our covenant to you be fulfilling your plans and purposes. May our covenant to you not be a religious act, but a heartfelt act, something that is really and truly uniquely ours to give to you. And Father, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy that enables us to draw closer to you through covenant. So we thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. We thank you that we are able to glorify the Father. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us, guide us, strengthen us, and comfort us in leading us upon this path that the Lord has us walking upon. We thank you for this. Amen. Let me just.